I'm Bill Corbett, professional speaker, author, and television program producer and host. After nearly 20 years of traveling nationally and internationally, delivering presentations, I sat down and wrote the Amazon bestseller, From the Soapbox to the Stage, How to Use Your Passion to Start a Speaking Business. And now you're listening to the Get Paid to Speak podcast to help you use what you feel passionate about to inspire change in others. There are so many incredible things you can begin doing immediately to help launch yourself as a speaker in your local area. One of those things is to become a local expert that television show producers can call on to appear on local news and magazine shows to help them fill airtime with quality programming that people want to watch. Becoming an on-air contributor is easy to do, but takes time to develop yourself and some patience to make it work. In this episode, I'm going to teach you how to do it and share some segments of my own on-air interviews with local ABC and NBC affiliate stations. So let's get started with why you need to become a local on-air contributor and how to do it. Television producers need content and subject matter experts that can provide that content. All you have to do is find the producers and introduce yourself to them. So you're going to start by thinking of the people you can help, the people that will eventually be seated in your audience when you're speaking. Imagine them in your mind and imagine the problems they may be dealing with. Just think about who you can help because of what you know. Let's say you worked in HR and want to speak to HR professionals. What problems do they deal with? If you're a car dealer, I would imagine that you might have other car dealers in mind. What problems can you provide the answers for to help them sell more cars? My experience was parenting, so I developed a list of problems that parents deal with. It was easy in the beginning for me because I was a parent myself and already knew what kinds of problems I was experiencing. When I ran short on problems, I went to parent and teacher meetings and conventions and asked questions. If you worked as an IT network engineer, then you may already know what kinds of problems IT network professionals deal with. If you worked in carpeting sales, then you could probably already identify the challenges that people who sell carpeting deal with on a daily basis. Once you have that focus, begin writing down these problems and develop the solutions to solve those problems. Create outlines of the solutions and then perhaps write essays or articles that contain the steps that lay out the solutions. If you're not sure what problems your audience members might be dealing with or you just need more, hang out in social media forums where your ideal audience members might be and listen to what they talk about or ask them questions to learn more from them. You can also hang out physically where your audience members might be gathering, such as conferences or organizational meetings. Now that you have your initial list, keep adding to it and keep breaking down the solutions into articles, speech scripts, social media posts, audio and video recordings, and even Kindle books or chapters for paperbacks. The next step is to go find your local programming on all the major network affiliates, such as ABC, NBC, and CBS. Most cities have local magazine shows that are on every weekday in the morning or even the midday, featuring topics and guests of local interest. If you work your full-time job during the day, then record them on your DVR or TiVo and watch them when you get home. That's what I did. Get to know the hosts of the shows and the guests they interview. Find them on social media, both the hosts and the guests, and connect or link up with them. Make comments on their posts and provide encouragement to them about a certain show you happen to watch and the content they provided. You really want to interact with them as much as you can. You want to get to know them and you want them to get to know you. Every program has at least one producer and sometimes even associate producers or interns who provide support. Your job at this point is to go find them and introduce yourself to them and offer them content. I want you to do this by combing the program and or station's website and finding their producer's contact information. This includes their phone number, email address, social media ID that starts with the @. You can also obtain their contact information by calling the studio and explaining to the receptionist that you have information for the producer of the XYZ show and need their contact information. They are usually happy to provide it. Once you have their contact information, send them your information as to who you are, what your expertise is, and how they can contact you. Keep it brief, professional, and concise. Don't go on and on and on and no long emails. Then, weekly, send them topic ideas they might be interested in for a future segment. Keep an eye on national news and trends that you could offer advice on. As an example, I noticed that the topic of unemployment was rising and appearing on the national front, so I sent all of the producers I had contact information for information on my book, From the Soapbox to the Stage, and how it could help professionals who were unemployed or afraid that they would lose their jobs, how to reinvent themselves and grow their own business as a subject matter expert and a speaker. Within an hour, the producer of the midday show on my local NBC affiliate replied to the voicemail I left her and asked if I could be in the studio the very next day for an on-air interview. Here's the audio from that TV segment.
Good morning again, everyone. So we all know this. Dealing with unemployment is always hard, but for people who are 50 and over, it could be even harder. Listen to this. According to the Labor Department, the average time of unemployment for older people was 53 weeks. That's more than a year, obviously. Compare that to teenagers whose average length of unemployment can be 19 weeks. Feels like forever, but what a difference in the two. People in their 20s and 30s, what are they doing? Well, they know they need to market themselves, and many times they're always looking for better opportunities. But that's a concept that could be foreign to people 50 and older. So here with some tips on reinvention is Bill Corbett, author of From the Soapbox to the Stage, How to Use Your Passion to Start a Speaking Business. Good morning to you, Bill.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And congrats on the new book.
Thank you.
So this hopefully will be a really helpful tool. Who are you really targeting here in that age group?
It's a couple of small groups. The people who are unemployed,
yeah.
People who are afraid they may become unemployed, or those who are really dissatisfied with their job and are looking to do something different. Because I think inside all of us is the burning passion. There's something we really would love to do to make us wake up in the morning.
But often we're scared and we think, well, that's just not attainable, so what do we do in the meantime?
Right.
A lot of people had a bad experience too, and they just can't let go of that. But you say you have to.
You have to. You got to let go, especially you're feeling angry, you're feeling desperate. You're now living off of your savings, your retirement. And if we're so focused on the fear, it's going to be difficult to move forward.
And you also say we're all an expert at something. What if people say, not me, I'm not good at anything?
They just haven't figured it out yet. They're just not ready. You know, I say if you watch a lot of reality TV, you can be an expert on reality TV.
Sure. So a lot of people blog about it. They create
a niche of their own. What do people come to you? Right. What do people come to you for all the time? You know, we have people in our circle we go to for those specific topics. What is yours? What draws people to you? And what can you figure out that you feel passionate about?
There's a couple other points. We're going to put them back on the screen. Number three is think about who you can help.
There's people have problems all around us. So what problem can you solve? And who has that problem? Who can you help? And what you want to do is try to identify exactly who do you have in mind with the kind of person that you could speak to or help solve their problem.
You also say develop a simple talk. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, the talk can be a blog post. It can be an article. It can be a speech. What is it you like to say? So you take the problem you can solve, you construct it into, you know, five or six things that you can do to help that person solve that problem and craft it into how you would say it through a speech or through an article.
Find your audience and interact with them. Obviously important. If you're selling something, you got to find the people who are buying it.
Right. Who's your audience?
Right.
Who can you help? And you figure out where they're hanging out. What associations do they belong to? What groups do they belong to? Go join those groups and learn more about the problems they deal with and learn more about them, because they're going to be looking to you to help them solve that.
And for people listening and thinking, okay, I get it, but I need a little bit more help. You've actually started a group in the area that
yes.
People can become a part of. What is that?
It's the Hartford Springfield Speakers Network. It's not a business. It's a place where anyone who aspires to speak, who thought about starting a speaking business, and those who are already in it to mentor people who are new. And we're going to meet on a monthly basis up in Enfield, Connecticut.
That's great.
And it's going to be open to whoever feels the need to speak.
Well, we all know that networking is kind of everything when it comes to getting out there. And at the very least commiserating, sharing, encouraging.
Learning and mentoring.
All of the above.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. And by the way, the website is?
StartASpeakingBusiness.com.
Well, hopefully a lot of people are encouraged. They grab the bulls by the horn here and they take off and they do this. Bill Corbett, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks.
We've learned a lot. All right, Bob. Over to you.
Beautiful weather out there right now. This is from yesterday. Storms that were moving.
As I left the studio that day, the producer came out of the control room to thank me for the great segment and told me to contact her anytime I had show material ideas. I shook her hand, gave her a signed copy of my book, and as they say, the rest was history. I became one of her lead on-air guests on a regular basis. I now have a whole library of TV interviews that I can use as content and a great relationship with my local NBC affiliate. Here are some other examples of how I got myself on TV. Whenever summer came around, I would pitch my producers with how to keep your kids busy over the summer. Holidays were the easiest for me, and I always got gigs at these times of the year, as I would pitch unique ideas like how to teach children to be grateful near Thanksgiving, of course. How to make your holiday happier at Christmas time. Keeping kids safe while trick-or-treating around Halloween. One morning, I saw a local story on my ABC affiliate that a little girl was kidnapped out of her front yard while playing. I quickly pitched the topic of teaching your children to be safe, and I was the featured guest on that day's evening news program. The producer of the Midday Magazine show sent my email to the producer of the evening news. Once you get noticed by local producers and they like you as a guest, they will begin calling you regularly for on-air opportunities. On the morning of December 14th, 2012, I had just gotten off a plane at Hartford Airport. I was returning from a three-day speaking gig in Oklahoma. As I was walking through the terminal, a huge crowd was gathered around the television at one of the gates. I was trying to figure out what they're all watching. The news about the massacre at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut was just breaking. I stood there in shock with at least 50 other people gathered around the television on the ceiling. Suddenly, my phone started ringing. It was blowing up. And just about all the producers of the Hartford area affiliates were calling me to come into the studio that day to discuss the tragedy and how parents can help their children deal with this awful event. Here's the audio from one of those interviews I did.
You're putting your child on a bus to go to school. You might have struggled to find the right things to say to them and, for that matter, to say to yourself about the horrors in Newtown.
Parenting expert and author Bill Corbett joins us live to tell us how we can talk to our kids and ourselves about Newtown. Bill, so nice to have you here this morning.
Glad to be here.
I'm sure that you've been hearing a lot from parents, talking to a lot of parents. I think what people are really thinking right now is how do they talk to their kids about this, but also we have to address what should parents be feeling when they have to send their kids to school? How can they cope?
Well, what's important is we have to remember that our children get their emotional stability from the reflection of the parents. So how the parent is feeling, the child will feel. So the first step is to make sure that we are good listeners. And unfortunately, we have to kind of set our emotions aside momentarily, let them say everything that's on their mind, that they're feeling about this whole incident, and ask them how they feel about it, and then assure them that they're safe. The next most important thing is, because we're human, we need to grieve. And all of us have been grieving over the last several days over this incident, because it touches each and every one of us. The important thing is to do our best to grieve away from our children. Now, a lot of neighbors and families are coming to parents and saying, what can we do to help? One thing that you can do is say, could you watch my children for half an hour, for an hour, and I'll be back. And we need to go away and have that time to grieve and to cry and to feel the sadness, to get it out of our soul, and then come back refreshed and be ready to take care of our children.
I think what a lot of parents are finding it hard to do is to say, you are safe, you are, when it's hard for them to actually say it if they don't really believe it.
Yeah, absolutely, because children pick up from your facial expression, from your action, from your tone. It's not just your words. And I know we think the umbilical cord was cut a long time ago, and it was, but we're still connected. Mm-hmm. Children can sense when something's going on inside the parent's soul. So it's good to grieve and get it out of your system and come back and then be refreshed and behave in a way and speak in a way and act in a way that assures your child that they're going to be okay.
It's true. It's much like the president last night. You know, he's a father, but he did some grieving, and then he came together to address the nation. You know, he had his time to grieve, and then he came together and really made his words felt.
Children don't really see the difference between reality and make-believe, especially at early age. They have trouble detecting what's the difference between it. So let them express what they say, even if it sounds ridiculous. Also, if your child is not expressing how they feel, be careful for unusual behaviors. You may see children acting out in strange ways. Be calm about it and be relaxed about it. It's as adults, we know how to go, I'm feeling this way. Children know how to do that. They don't know how to express how they feel. So sometimes the expression of their emotion comes out through their behavior. Mm-hmm. So there could be very strange behavior. There could be anything from being silly and acting dumb to bedwetting. All kinds of things could occur. So it's important for parents to be relaxed and calm at this time.
And unfortunately, a lot of parents don't want to let their children go. They want to keep them safe. What advice do you have for parents who are afraid to let go of their children now?
Well, they've got to let them go back into a normalcy as soon as possible. You've got to get them back into normal routine. That is one way of helping to realize that I'm going to be safe and everything is going to be all right. And of course, like I said earlier, it's making sure that you create an environment at home through your own behavior that says, we're going to be fine.
Right, and a part of that is letting your feelings out away from your children.
Yeah.
To make sure that you are composed.
Now, Bill, what about media coverage? I know, you know, we're always inundated these days by the 24-hour news cycle. How much of that should we expose to our kids, and should we let that play a role in the dialogue that we formulate with our children?
All right, so the mainstream media has a job to do to report the results. And a lot of people are tuned into their television or radio because they want to know, the first thing we do is, how could this have happened? So we're constantly digging for what makes this incident different than my town or my family. So that's fine. The only thing is children don't need all of that. So again, parents need to find another time away from their children to be reading the news or watching television. Minimize the coverage as much as possible. Shut it off, because too much will overwhelm them. And what we're talking about is managing the child's fear. If we inundate them with the news coverage, it increases the level of the child's fear, and then they begin to act out more and become difficult to manage. So minimizing around the children.
Well, maybe a nice thing to do then is if you sit your kids down and maybe you're eating dinner or they're watching a kids movie or a kids television show, you can use your smartphone, your tablet, your laptop to do your research then and not hide it from them, but kind of clothe them from it.
You can. And another thing is, if they are exposed to the news media, focus on the heroes. Focus on the people who were there to save the children rather than what happened in the actual massacre. Is focus on, notice the firemen, the policemen, and look at how many there are, and it helps them feel safe in
those
moment.
Teachable
yes,
moments.
That's so true. And there's a lot that's been happening surrounding this in our community, a lot of candlelight vigils and people coming together to pay their respects. Do you suggest that parents bring their children to an event like this?
Oh, absolutely. And it shows them the unity of coming together, the positiveness. And if they ask questions, answer them to the best of your ability, but then focus on something positive related to the event or the activity that you're involved in. And there's other things you can do just beyond the candle. Don't wait for a candle vigil to occur. There's all kinds of social service agencies that need help. You talked about collecting the teddy bears. I'm sure they can all use volunteers to distribute ribbons and teddy bears. Let your kids have an active role in that. They're going to be focused on the positive and what to do going forward rather than what did happen.
It's so good to have you here. It's so hard to talk about this. It's kind of sticks to your stomach just even bringing it up again, just thinking about it. But it's so nice to have you here.
Great.
To
glad
help
to be
us.
Here.
Thanks for being here, Bill.
Sure.
Great
Bill.
To have you.
Now that you know what to do, here's why you should do it. It increases your credibility as an expert in your field. It grows your platform as an SME, a subject matter expert. It gets you noticed locally and nationally when producers pass your name on to other producers. It can lead to speaking opportunities. Now, meeting planners who saw my segments contacted me and hired me as a speaker. You'll sell more books, if you have any, and other products that you might have. I used to have DVDs for sale. You'll become the go-to person on your topics of interest. It widens your circle of influence and grows your circle, gets you further opportunities on TV and radio. The digital files of your interviews gives you content you can use later, like I've used in this episode. So let me offer some very important advice here. You can do all the things I've mentioned in this episode, but if you don't operate as a true professional, you won't get invited back. I've seen some experts get some great opportunity initially and then no follow-up invitations because they were jerks. Not the producers, the SMEs. Producers are very busy people, and they can tell an unprofessional expert when they meet one. One thing I dislike terribly is when I make a recommendation to a producer and that person ruins their chances of getting invited back, and that gives me a bad name as a referral source. I'll never help that person again. Here are some very important matters to consider when dealing with producers and when getting invited on the air. Be ready to get to the studio and do whatever you can to get there. Don't cancel. Do whatever it takes to show up as you promised. Answer your phone and return producers' calls promptly. They're very impatient people because they're under a lot of pressure. Show up looking professional. Be camera ready. Get there early. TV segments are sometimes rearranged, so be early and be ready. There were many times where I showed up and my segment was supposed to start at, say, 2 o'clock, and I showed up at 1 o'clock, and they suddenly said, "We need you to go on early. Are you ready?" Be patient, be professional, and be kind. Producers are people, too. Be forgiving if your segment is suddenly canceled or preempted for breaking news. I can't tell you the number of times that I finagled away to get out of my full-time job, drive over to the studio, get there in plenty of time, only to find out that my segment was preempted because of some sort of breaking news. Don't get too chatty. They have to fit a huge topic into a matter of just a few minutes. So when they ask you questions, be very to the point and don't take too long to answer. Don't make the segment about you. Keep it on topic. Producers don't like braggarts. Send a thank you note to the producer following your appearance, thanking them for their time and the opportunity they gave you to help them. Continue to send pitches regularly and be ready to comply with requests. Finally, start collecting other experts you would feel comfortable recommending. Then, if you can't help them with a segment, recommend another expert who might be able to do that. When you are presenting something that ignites the passion in you, everything changes. The topic is delivered effectively, the audience is receptive, and you as a speaker feel so complete and aligned with yourself and your message. So figure out what your message is and start putting it together to change the lives of others. I want to hear what your ideas are and what you're coming up with problems and solutions. And if you have questions about anything I've presented here or on any episode in this podcast, I hope that you'll consider emailing me at bill@billcorbett.com. That's bill@billcorbett.com. And let's connect. I'd love to help you further. This recording is the property of Bill Corbett and the Get Paid to Speak podcast. Copyright 2022, all rights reserved.